Visiting a sacred site such as Stonehenge or Avebury always feels special, and some sites resonate with us more than others. For example, the Glastonbury Tor has never done much for me. Stonehenge fills me with awe, but at Avebury I am immediately taken up with its power and ring to the magic of the place. I'm sure you'll have your own feelings about specific places, but what I've realised is that whichever place is your favourite, and however lovely it is to be there, it's amazing that years later the memory of that place stays with you and reminds you of what's important. Even now, many years later, in my mind's eye, I can see the hopes and wishes fluttering colourfully on the trees at Avebury, and I think of all the souls who were moved to put them there, and my own tiny contribution. A sacred place also connects you like nothing else to the long history of humanity. You can read ancient books and get a sense of our ancestry, but it's humbling to walk on the very ground that our ancestors venerated, to puzzle at how and why they created such amazing constructions, and to wonder about their mystery. The Heel Stone at Stonehenge, for example, which the sun rises over at the summer solstice, is estimated to have been placed there in 3200 BCC. But even the latest of the stone circles is about 2000 BCC. That is really old, Neolithic. And the logistics of creating the sarsen stones with their lintels when they are so heavy and were transported there from somewhere, somehow, by someone, who knows? You'd be a pretty strange person to be unimpressed by such awesome activity. At the same time, there is a hidden power, a dragon energy, in these places. They are such visible landmarks because they stand out with their huge standing stones. And Stonehenge in particular is associated today with the Druid rituals of the summer solstice, emphasising the dawn, the sun and the light. But equally important is that the moon's cycle with the lunar nodes is thought by the archaeoastronomy scholars to be crucial at these sites. Stonehenge has a circle of stones called the Aubrey Stones, an outer circle from the 10 huge sarsen standing stones, which reflect the moon's movement. Not so much the moon's movement every month, but her 18 and a half year cycle of the moon's nodes around the zodiac. The nodes are places where the moon crosses the great circle of the ecliptic, either from north to south or vice versa. No need to worry about the technicalities here, but what you do need to know is that when the moon is crossing those nodal points, she is in alignment with both the sun and the earth, and that's when eclipses can happen, either an eclipse of the sun or an eclipse of the moon. Now, an eclipse takes away the light from the sun or the moon, creating total darkness. And for ancient peoples, that was terrifying. In many cultures, it was thought that the two lunar nodes, the north-south crossing points opposite each other, were like the head and tail of a great dragon in the sky who had swallowed the sun or the moon. Our Western astrology still speaks of the dragon's head and the dragon's tail. From earliest times, this dramatic swallowing of the lights by a dragon or serpent has been an omen of crisis in human affairs. An eclipse creates darkness when things cannot be seen. And of course, the nodes themselves cannot be seen. They are crossing points, intersections, not like planetary bodies. In modern astrology, eclipses still have the same ominous meaning of crisis in our affairs. In addition, the north node, the dragon's head, is said to be where we take things in, where things and experiences nourish and feed us. On the other hand, the south node, or dragon's tail, is where we must let things go, waste material we no longer need. How useful it would be then for the ancients to have some way of knowing when an eclipse would happen. Forewarned is forearmed. And since the scholarly work of Gerald Hawkins in 1965, it has been shown that Stonehenge was also an eclipse calculator, with the moon in alignment around the circle of Aubrey stones over an 18.5-year period. What's ironic about this is that although we venerate the sacred sites like Stonehenge for the sun's interplay with the hugely visible stones, the moon is quietly beavering away in her night world, creating the possibility of eclipses and a world of total darkness. But we mustn't fall into a modern scientific understanding that just thinks of the astronomy as if we are dealing with an astronomical eclipse calculator, however primitive that might be. Never forget that astronomy is a modern invention. It never existed for the ancients. Where there was sky and nature, there were also gods, and astronomy was always part of a sacred cosmos. The sacred sites then become places where the two great cosmic forces, sun and moon, day and night, intertwine. The sun and moon, king and queen, are the cosmic lovers, and we astrologers see this because the attraction between lovers is so often indicated by the placing of the lunar nodes in their horoscopes. It is often our lover who is most capable of eclipsing us, and because the nodes are merely points, invisible as such, they have in their symbolism a hidden or unconscious dimension. In the world of psychoanalysis, the north node is where we take in, where we unconsciously introject. The south node is where we expel and give out, where we unconsciously project. Not surprising then that it is in our closest love relationships where we project and introject that the nodes between couples show very dominantly. But of course that's another story. And in sun sign astrology for the medium, a brilliant way to use the nodes is to go by the current houses they fall in for each sun sign and talk about their serpent power and how it affects personal relationships. For example, the north node is currently in Cancer, which falls in the third house for a sun sign Taurus, the 12th house for a sun sign Leo, etc. Also, if you have clients, do check out where he or she can be eclipsed by the signs and houses of north and south nodes. Finally, if you're heading off to Stonehenge or Avebury, enjoy the sun, but please remember the moon and add your wish to a tree at Avebury. I do hope it is fulfilled by the cosmic cycles. And here's a magical tip too. After your trip, watch for the first instant you see the crescent of the new moon. Remember your wish, and you'll make it come true.